Well, you guys know that we are experiencing a crisis in our public schools, but I have a story of hope for you today. LifeWise Academy is on a mission to reach school children with the gospel. And I have the CEO of LifeWise Academy with me here today. Joel Penton is here. I just spent the last 40 minutes talking to him. And I'm telling you what, you guys, I was on the verge of tears the entire time I was talking to him because the Holy Spirit is so powerfully working through this man and through this organization. You guys are going to love this conversation. This is the Heidi St. John podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged.
LifeWise Academy, an Ohio-based Christian nonprofit, found a legal way to offer Bible lessons to thousands of school children during the school day. Antonia, every time you visit here, I get a distressing picture of what's happening elsewhere in the country, and this is not any exception.
I'm sorry to stress you out.
Well, and they're all wearing their red shirts, and there are popcorn parties that LifeWise is having, and then there are these notes that these kids pass each other about how great and how fun LifeWise is. I mean, I just wonder if this is not running afoul of some First Amendment stuff.
So, Joel, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is exciting for me because, you know, my friend Matt Faraci reached out and he's like, have you seen what is happening? You need to look at this. Start sending me articles and little, you know, video clips from what's going on with you in the news. Because, of course, the legacy media, the mainstream media hates what you're doing. So right. I'm really interested. This is your first time on my show to have you just sort of introduce LifeWise Academy to my audience and let us know a little bit about what you're doing, where the passion came from.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. LifeWise Academy, we provide Bible education for public school students during school hours. And so when people hear that, they often think, wait a minute, how could that possibly work in 2024? What almost no one is aware of, I didn't learn this until a handful of years ago, is that in 1952, so 70 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that public school students can be released from public school during school hours to receive religious instruction if the program is off school property, privately funded, and they have parental permission. And again, this has just been under the radar for like 70 years. We found out several years ago, oh, this is possible. Let's try it out. So we created a plug and play program any community could implement. And our goal at first was just to serve 25 schools by 2025. But here we are in 2024, serving over 300 schools across more than a dozen states with more than 30,000 students enrolled. And it's starting to get some attention. Well, all sorts of attention, I guess.
Well, that's when you know you've struck a nerve, right? When you're getting all sorts of attention. So you recently, NBC did a piece on you. And tell us a little bit about that, because after that, MSNBC picked it up and they did a piece also. Let's start with NBC. It's a little less, we won't go all the way to bright yet.
Right. Well, I heard from a reporter who was just working on an article. And as I had a conversation with him, he said, wow, this is so interesting. I'm going to pass this on to some other people. So then we got a call from NBC Nightly News that expressed interest in sending a whole film crew. And as we dug in and looked at the reporters, it was clear to us those who were involved do not have a favorable view of Christian ministries to
schools. Shocker.
Right. And so we said, but you know what? Let's invite them in. You know, we're not hiding anything. We're transparent. Right. Let them see the class. They'll see the positive impact on kids. You know, they're going to see this, what this great program is. And so they came, and man, I'd never done an interview like that one where somebody's just grilling me for 40 minutes, trying to get me to slip up to say something political. You know, they're asking me about abortion and they're asking me about all these political issues. And I'm like, hey, listen, we do a Bible education program for elementary school kids. Like, this is not a political thing. Sure enough, the Nightly News piece aired, which was okay. And then, as you said, MSNBC came out with their piece, which honestly felt more like a Saturday Night Live sketch than anything, because it was just so ridiculous and framed from some fantasy world.
Mm-hmm. So what was their angle?
Well, their angle was that the first whole minute of the piece was about the Christian Church of Donald Trump and how the blue islands in red states are the only thing that is keeping progressivism alive there, and that this Bible study program for elementary school kids, and this is where they singled us out, is going to turn those blue islands into purple islands, and therefore, and our whole strategy is political to change the future voter base or something.
Isn't that crazy? Well, and actually, you know what? They might kind of be onto something. Because Jesus changes people, right? I mean, once you've experienced the healing and forgiveness of God, it changes you. And that's what they're afraid of, right? I mean, why did we remove God from the schools? Why have we removed the Ten Commandments? Why can't we pray in school, right? Because there's actual power in it. There's power in the Word of God. If somebody asks me, you know, why am I speaking on this on the state, the steps of the state capitol, Olympia, Washington, about what's happening to our kids in the public school and calling people to Jesus, right?
Right.
Because we know that Jesus changes people and he brings healing and we desperately need it in our education system right now. We absolutely need it. What has been the response of parents? Because when you first said to me, this is happening during school hours, like I'm very familiar with Child Evangelism Fellowship. I have a bunch of friends that work for them and the Good News Club has been around since the 70s, right? They've been doing this for a really long time. But those are after school clubs.
Right.
You're doing this. I mean, you're like poking the bear and saying, I'm going to do this during school hours. What has been the response of the parents?
Oh, parents love it. I mean, it's been overwhelmingly positive response from parents, from communities, from churches, from school administrators as well. Schools know that something is needed. You know, they know there's a crisis of character.
Come on.
There's a reason that there's a large chunk of parents who will spend tens of thousands of dollars to send their children to private religious schools. It's because they want religious instruction. They want Bible education in their kids' life. But very few parents are able to do that. You know, you have a lot of families in public schools, for whatever reason, that have been kind of in a way left behind. Mm-hmm. And then they hear, oh, wait, I can really incorporate Bible education into the public school day. And so I can communicate to my child that this is important to us, that yes, you're going to learn math and you're going to learn biology, but you're also going to learn Bible as part of your public school day. I mean, they're taking us up on it and communities are getting behind it. And it feels like some sort of revolution, quite frankly, because there's been such angst and desire for this type of thing. People just didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, it really is amazing. So walk us through, because there are going to be a lot of people listening to this. I'm a huge advocate for home education. I've been telling people, get your kids out of these schools for a really long time, right? Because by and large, the schools are injuring our children. They really are. I mean, body, soul, mind, and spirit. Here in the Pacific Northwest, in the state of Oregon, you no longer have to be proficient in reading, writing, or math to graduate from an Oregon high school. But I'll tell you what, these kids know their pronouns. They'll come out. Right. They know their pronouns. They could tell you that there's 400 genders, Joel, and you could be a narwhal whale on Friday if you want to be. But wow. They don't. But they're coming out. And the rate of suicidal ideation, what we're seeing happening with our students in that they have very low self-esteem. I just saw a study released just a few weeks ago from Pew Research saying that there are more students now, young people between the ages of 8 and 18, who don't even know why they're even here. They think their life has no value. So right. What you're doing is actually introducing kids to the Bible and to the one who gave us the Bible, right, is really right. Powerful. So walk us through what that would look like at any given day during a public school session.
Right. So we, LifeWise Academy, our ministry, exists again alongside a public school, and kids through LifeWise can have a Bible class as part of their regular school day. We tend to start with the elementary school kids and they get it once a week. And so in the same way that the child will have art class once a week and music class once a week and gym class once or twice a week, they can also have a Bible class, although it is optional. You know, a parent has to sign the kid up. And so it tends to operate on a rotation in the same way a school would have maybe one or two art teachers that kind of rotate around from room to room or class to class. We will get a classroom or two of kids at a time. And so just one example, our largest program is in Northwest Ohio. And the elementary school, there's 1,000 kids in the elementary school. So five times a day, 5 days a week, our big red LifeWise 72 passenger bus pulls up and two classrooms of kids get on, takes them less than a mile down the road to the YMCA. They go into two classrooms. They take a Bible class. They get back on the bus. It goes back to the school less than a mile. A new group gets on and it's just an operation. And so over 90% of the kids in that school district. So over 900 kids of that elementary school get a Bible class as part of their school day throughout the week.
Dude, I just think this is so rad. It makes me 100 different kinds of happy.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So I'm assuming that you have a curriculum, right? You're teaching the Bible. What are these kids learning?
Yeah. So we have a licensing agreement with what I believe is the best curriculum on the planet. And that is a curriculum called the Gospel Project, which is designed for churches.
I'm very familiar. I agree with you.
It's fantastic.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And so it keeps Christ at the center. And our lessons have a threefold focus: head, heart, hands. And head, we're asking the question, you know, what is the Bible story on the page? What are the elements of this passage? Heart, we take a step back to say, how does this passage connect to the bigger picture story of the gospel? And so we're talking about Jesus every week, how he's the hero of the whole story. And then hands, if we rightly understand the gospel, if we're rightly understanding this, how does it transform our lives? How does it transform our character? And that's one of the reasons schools love it, is because we're ending every lesson talking about, you know, a different trait, whether it's honesty or respect or humility, but it's flowing from the gospel. It's not behavior modification.
But they're trying to sexualize the kids, dude. You're messing this up. You're messing it up. I mean, that's why MSNBC is so mad at you. It is.
That's right. I mean,
like, you're pointing these kids to Jesus, and on some level, these guys know, oh man, that changes things. Because that's exactly knowing Jesus changes everything.
Well, and you can't enslave people who worship the king, right? You know, that they came into our classroom and it just so happened the kids were learning the verse, there's no other name under heaven by which men can call upon to be saved. And so they see a room, a highly diverse room in the inner city of kids learning about David and Goliath and learning how Jesus is the true David who fights our battles on our behalf and slays the giants of Satan, sin, and death that can defeat us. And then they all recite in unison, there's no other name under heaven by which men can call upon to be saved. And they're getting nervous. Getting nervous about these kids.
Yeah. Well, and they should be, because kids who know Jesus are gonna be free from the lies that are coming at them. And it really, what you're doing in many, many ways, is you rightly pointed out, is you're helping them to recognize that they have worth, and their worth comes from the Creator, right? They have worth by virtue of the fact that God loves them, that He sent His Son for them, and that they are loved. And that is a message that is desperately needed in the schools right now. It is absolutely desperately needed.
And it's a worth that is found outside themselves, in the sense that, you know, kids are being told today in school that you're so amazing, you're so special, you're so intrinsically valuable. And then kids look in the mirror and they realize, but wait, I'm broken. And so I don't understand how does this fit? Yeah. Like, I feel empty, I feel broken. And our message is, guess what? You're valuable because of someone else, because you're made in the image and likeness of God. And this God who's of infinite value and worth died for you. And so it's a completely turning the worldly perspective on its head.
I'm assuming, Joel, that you have now, you've been doing this for a little while, stories of kids whose lives have been changed and impacted because they are being exposed to Jesus. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're exposing them to the one who loves them and made them. Do you have anything? Can you share for my listeners? Because they're used to hearing Heidi St. John rant and rave every day about the garbage that's coming at her. It makes me angry. These are little kids, right? And there's a reason why Jesus said it'd be better for us to have a millstone hung around our neck and be thrown into the ocean than cause even one of these little ones to stumble. And we're throwing stumbling blocks at them from the second they arrive at these campuses. And you're ushering in life-changing medicine in the form of Jesus. And I'm assuming you're starting to hear the results of it.
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, we get a report every week of our directors. And again, we're serving over 300 schools, over 30,000 students. And our directors will fill out a report and just share some stories. And then as a staff on Monday mornings, we'll often spend time reading them. And we just did this morning. We just read some of these. And I mean, it'll bring you to tears. This morning, I read to our staff a story of an elementary school student who said, who shared at LifeWise that he'd asked his parents if they would take him to church, and they did. And this was a few months ago, and his mother just decided to get baptized, and he wanted to let the LifeWise class know that his prayers had been answered because now his mother was getting baptized. And
dude, I can't handle it. You're going to make me cry.
I know. Me too.
Stop.
These are the stories. I mean, they just flooded. I was preaching at a church east of Columbus. I live in Columbus, Ohio. And a woman came up to me and said, I just want to thank you. My whole family is here in this church today because of LifeWise. We enrolled our kids, and then we saw the change in them, and now we're connected to the church. And we are in this interesting place in our culture that there is a remnant of this kind of Christian culture. There's just this huge segment of parents and grandparents that have some sort of past with church, mm-hmm. and they hear about a program like this and they say, yeah, my kid could use some of that because I haven't taken him to church. I haven't, you know, exposed them to this. And it's, mm-hmm. they're getting reconnected and they're getting plugged back in. And it's just really something to behold.
That's amazing. It's a miracle, really, which is why the enemy is going to come at you with guns blazing, right? And I'm curious, are you able to? So one of the big things I think that has happened, you know, my family is a ministry family. My husband and I met at Multnomah School of the Bible back when dinosaurs were on the earth. And it was a big deal to us. Like, you know, Billy Graham would come into town and they do these huge crusades in the Portland area, you know, and thousands of people would come to know Christ. But they come to know Christ and they don't have if they're not plugged in, if they don't have, you know, people who disciples them, then it tends to sort of go by the wayside. Right. Are these kids, do they have access, or are you partnering with local churches so that if they decide, hey, I want to find a church to go to, they have that option?
Oh, most certainly. Well, on a couple levels. Number one, we're not going anywhere. So we will be here next week and the next week and the next week. And we want to teach the Bible to generations of mm-hmm. Public school students in every community. And we are, with that said, we are very committed to being local church driven. We have.
Yeah, so important.
For example, early on in the process, if you're in a community that was launching a LifeWise program and you wanted to be on the steering committee, you're not able to be on the steering committee unless you have the reference of a local church pastor. There's no rogue Christians involved. We want everyone involved to be connected to a local church because ultimately LifeWise is just a tool for local churches. We know our role, and it's to introduce kids to these concepts and ultimately to get them plugged in to local church bodies.
Yeah. I mean, that is where it's at. I just did a quick Google search of you. This is amazing. This is making me so happy. I can't even stand it. But I did a Google search, and the first thing that comes up, of course, is NBC News. It says, right. You know, prayer and Bible lessons and a big red bus, how an Ohio group is bringing God to public school. And I think, man, you know, coming out of Whitehall, Ohio, you know, that's like coming out of Cincinnati or coming out of Portland. These kids right. desperately need to know that they're loved. And I love that you have boldly said, we are going to do this during school hours. You're not hiding. You're not saying, hey, we're going to stand outside after school and try to siphon the kids off. You're getting them when they're there. And I'm kind of curious, are you able to do this because they come on their lunch break? I mean, how did they get this time? Where do you find the time?
Yeah, it varies from school to school. Every school is different. We now have identified about 8 different ways that schools will make this work. Sometimes they will add an additional special. Those things of art and music and whatnot are often called specials. And so they'll add a special, or sometimes students already have a free kind of study hall type of time. Other times it's during a library time because that's not a graded time. That's the in Whitehall. That's the example that NBC kind of focused on. Or sometimes it's lunch and recess. You know, they'll package lunch and recess together. And that whole is time is kind of a 45 minutes to an hour. It just varies. And that's where it's a little more art than science. We go to schools and we say, hey, we'd like to do this. Here's 300 other schools that have figured it out. And we can talk with them and say, what works for this school? And we want to be a supportive ally helping schools, not some sort of burden. And that's ultimately what the schools are finding.
So good. I think this is interesting too, and I'm quoting from the article, parents and activists who've mobilized against Lifeway say that busing students to nearby churches where they sometimes collect prizes and eat candy, well, we can't have that, you know, I mean, come on, have made some non-Christian children feel left out or pressured to attend. Whether it's happening on campus or not, this program is bringing religion into the schools, says this chick who's an English tutor who works at several schools where Lifeway, she says it's not fair to kids of different religions. I'm really trying to do my Tucker Carlson, but it's not coming off. Anyway, my point is, obviously, you know, they go on to say that at a time when conservatives nationally are fighting what they portray as liberal indoctrination in schools, some parents and critics see the opposite playing out, accusing Lifeway of using the schools to draw children into an evangelical faith tradition whose members overwhelmingly vote Republican. And that is what this is all about. That's what it hinges on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What do you say?
Well, I have a variety of things to say. One is that it's just sad to me that their big category is politics, that the big God for them, the big prize for them is political victories. And for us, that's so small. Like we're talking about life and meaning and God and human hearts. And is there some sort of downstream political? Well, I guess, but that's clear. That's not what we care about. Like we care about students and families serving the King of the universe for whom we were created. And so it's just sad to hear that, you know, to hear that that's what where their minds go.
But it makes sense. It makes sense though, because politics is a God to the people on the left. I mean, it is a God. Right. And like I've been saying for, you know, decades here in the Pacific Northwest, Christians should care about politics because politics determines policy. Right. And policy shapes a nation. Well, right now our nation is being shaped by godless and even evil policy in many cases. And I think what it comes down to for these people is they're like, oh, hey, if these kids come to know Jesus, if they start going to, you know, I'm going to put your, you know, church in quotes, if they start going, because these guys don't understand what they're actually even talking about,
right,
then maybe it's going to change their politics. And though that's not what you're trying to do, that will be an outgrowth, because guess what? It will also change their families. It will change the way that they decide to take care of their bodies. It will change whether or not they do drugs. Right. It's going to change an awful lot of things. And they only see politics because it's a zero-sum game for these people.
Right.
And they have held this area captive for so long, largely because we're not teaching our kids about Jesus anymore. I'm going to let you talk, but I have one more thing to say because just fires me up. I have a friend who has a very good friend who's in the United States Congress right now, Democrat, hardcore abortion proponent, you know, into the LGBT indoctrination, has voted to have it in the schools, whatever. Well, I heard a rumor recently that this representative has started going to church. And their family, I'm going to say they're, not because I believe in the pronoun game, because I'm trying really hard not to give a person away, but their family is now saying that this person is behaving differently, thinking about things differently. And I was having a phone call with a friend of mine in Washington, D.C. the other day. I'm like, the best thing that could possibly happen is if this person became a Christian, because you can't, it will change the way you look at the world, right?
Oh,
because the Spirit of the living God changes us, and those changes are life-giving and they're good. But I think it's actually okay to say, well, if that's what happens, but that's not, we're trying to introduce these kids to Jesus because he's going to change their life.
That's exactly
that changes
right.
everything.
Yeah. And it's, that's the fruit. And so we've said that from the beginning is that we want to have the gospel at the center. We're not just trying, we don't want to just teach biblical morals, although it is character, it is Bible-based character education to some degree, but ultimately we're planting the seeds of the gospel and we know they will sprout and grow and bear fruit. And what's one of the things that's sad about these attacks is that there's concern of a potential future fruit of these 8-year-olds one day voting a certain way when there is measurable positive fruit that we can all get behind. We had a third-party independent study done that showed schools that are struggling with chronic absenteeism post-COVID, when they implement LifeWise, their attendance goes up significantly, over 7%. Also, their behavioral issues improve, in-school and out-of-school suspensions decrease. These are things that literally everyone in America wants to solve these problems.
Everyone wants that, yeah.
And we have a real solution. And they won't even acknowledge those things because of a fear of some future political possibility.
Yeah. And honestly, this is why our kids are being left to languish, right? They're being left to languish without hope and in darkness. And this has been true now for generations in the public schools. And I love what you're doing because you're going to show these kids a different way to look at their life. And it's life-giving. I mean, having a creator changes everything. When you know that you're loved, right. It changes everything. And it's just, it's so beautiful to me. And I'm just really, when Matthew told me about this, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. So I looked you up and I was like, look at this guy, you know, out there. And you're just unashamedly saying, Jesus is going to be so good for these kids. They need to hear about Jesus. And the parents are getting on board with it. It's just, it's thrilling to me. If somebody is interested, is it a franchise? I mean, how do you guys get these into schools? How can parents, because there are going to be a lot of people listening to this, and this is not Heidi St. John saying, put your kid in school and then sign them up for LifeWise. No, I still think you should take your kids out of the school. Sure. But I also think we stinking better be concerned about what's happening to the kids in the public schools. And because these are tomorrow's teachers, tomorrow's doctors, tomorrow's parents, for goodness sake, and they're precious to the Lord and they should be precious to us. We want to love what God loves. If somebody wants to help you, if someone says, well, I'm here in, you know, I don't know, Battleground, Washington, and there isn't one here, how do they bring LifeWise to their school?
Well, I so appreciate the question. And yes, I say the same thing, that having your child in public school is an option or is optional, but what I do not think should be optional for Christians is engaging with your local public school. You should be engaged. That is your mission field. That is your future of your community. And yes, this won't happen unless local people get involved. LifeWise doesn't go into anywhere. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. We have created tools that can be used by any community across the country. And so it is a grassroots movement that uses the tools that we provide. And so if you're listening, and I'll say this, if you think there's no way it would happen in my community, I will just want to remove any doubt. It's working everywhere, in the bluest of the blue areas, in the most urban, in the most suburban, affluent, in the most rural. We're going live in Los Angeles, California next year, among many other places. We'll probably be in over 20 states. And so if you, no matter where you are, it'll work, but you have to take action. So go to our website, lifewise.org. That's LifeWise. You can look up any school district in the nation. So you can look up the school district where you live, the one where you work, the one where you worship, the one where your nephew is, or, you know, you can look up any school district and you can find out if there's already a LifeWise movement. And if not, the way it gets started is through a signature campaign, what we call a community interest list, which is basically a petition. It's people in the community signing, saying, yes, we want this in our community. When we hit 50 signatures, that's when it starts to move. That's when we'll have a meeting and we'll do a steering committee and we'll walk the community through the process. Again, we have all the tools, but first, it's getting awareness and it's 50 people in the community saying, yeah, I want this to happen here.
So that's not hard. 50 people, please. Jump change. We can do it.
We have that in hours, or sometimes it's even minutes. People find it. They 100%. Post it on Facebook. They text their friends. And then the grassroots start moving. They say, yeah, we can do that. We can do this in our community. We can teach our kids the Bible. And God just raises up the right people for the task.
Dude, I think that's awesome. If somebody, so it is, obviously, it's the middle of April now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming you're looking at fall, right? The August, September-ish. Is it, could they get something going that quickly? How long does it take? I'm like, can we do this right now, Joel?
With the right go-getters, you really can. I mean, if everything falls into place, if our typical time span, it would we'd probably be looking at a January launch, which is very typical. Sometimes schools want to do just kind of half a year to kind of get the feet wet and figure it out. So the real go-getters, yeah, we'll be live in September. More typical would be January. But either way, it's time to get started right now. Jump on the website, add your name, and get going.
I super love it. You've written a book about this called During School Hours. I'm kind of curious. Are you a dad? I didn't even ask you that. Do you have kids?
I have 5 children, ages.
I kind of wondered. You seem a little dad-ish to me. I mean, no offense. Yep.
15, 13, 11, 9, and 6. And I'm certainly not offended by that. It's after being a husband, it's my second favorite job.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, the Holy Spirit just radiates off of you. And I mean, I have 7 kids myself, and now we've got 5 grandkids. And I'll tell you, there's God loves kids, and we should love what he loves. And it should matter to us to stand in defense of these little ones. And it's so important. And this is our time. And I love to see, you know, men like you, especially the men now, just getting off the bench and engaging in the defense of our children, because we need it now more than ever. Tell me a little bit about the book that you wrote, During School Hours, and where people can find it.
Yep. During School Hours, you can find it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever. And the subtitle is Why and How LifeWise Academy is Reinstalling Religious Education into the Public School Day. And so it is about those two things. So why is this so important? And so it goes through some of the history of how the Bible was at the center of our educational system for so long.
Forever.
Yes. I mean, in fact, the book lays out how the educational system was established for the sake of teaching kids how to read the Bible. That's the only reason we have an education system. And here we are without the Bible in it. But so it talks about how it was systematically removed, all of the trouble that has caused, which is obvious to anyone who has eyes and ears, and then all of the reasons why we know from study after study after study that when kids have Bible education in their life, they do better in every measurable way. And that, so that's the first part, the why. And then the how is telling the LifeWise story and of this thing, released time religious instruction. That's the legal term for what we do, pulling kids out during the day to teach them the Bible. It tells the history of that and our LifeWise story, how we've been blown away by the way people are coming together and God is moving, and exactly how people in their communities can get involved.
It's really cool that you're kind of bringing people back to talk about, you know, where we started and sort of, you know, this would have been, I mean, our founding fathers are rolling in their graves at what's happening in the school system, because the early American landscape was dominated by, well, homeschooling for one thing, and a commitment to free market principles. They believed, I mean, the kids that were coming out of that, you know, education system, this is where we got the Federalist Papers. These were not dummies, right? But the community of Christians was deeply invested in education. And education matters. It absolutely matters. People think, well, education is neutral. It's just reading, writing, arithmetic. No, it is not neutral. It has never been neutral. It never has been. It never will be. It's the imparting of generational wisdom from one generation to the next. And for whatever reason, you know, generations ago, we just like dropped the ball. And the education system has been hijacked. I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely been hijacked. And I love to see God's people engaging in this again, getting off the bench and onto the battlefield and actually offering options to parents to say, hey, we're going to teach, you know, we'd love to teach your kids the Bible. And the fact that so many parents are taking you up on it tells me that there is such a hunger. You've got to just be, I mean, you got to be thrilled.
Oh, we are thrilled. And, you know, I so appreciate your usage of the term get off the bench and your usage of the term defense, because I happen to play college football at The Ohio State University, and I played defensive tackle for the Buckeyes. With that said, what we keep hearing from parents and from community members, from everybody, is to kind of go the other way on that, is that finally here's a way that we can play offense. Because we're so defensive, like, oh, don't take that. Oh, don't do that. And we feel like we're always saying no, 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 no. But here's a real way that we can go on offense, take back ground, get involved, something to be for, not against.
I love that. And I think also, you know, recognizing you guys are going to be in, I mean, you are engaging. I feel like, I mean, you can push back on me if you want to. I can handle it. I ran for Congress. But this is what I think. I think that education is the front lines of the spiritual battle that's being waged in our country right now. And every single day, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of parents put their kids on these buses and they send them to the front lines of the culture war. And this is where they are injured. This is where they are taken captive. This is where they have their hearts have been hijacked and they lose their sense of identity. And what you're doing really is engaging in the highest level of spiritual warfare. And I'm curious to know, A, do you feel it? Do you agree with that? And one thing, I guess that'll be the first thing. And then I want to know how people can pray for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We do feel it. We feel it in both ways. We feel the incredible support. Again, when people hear, and I really hope your audience, I think they do, but I hope they hear what's actually happening. Because sometimes it takes a while to even register. Wait, during school hours?
It's so amazing. I know. I'm so fascinated by this. I can't even, I'm so excited. I'm going to help you. I'm so excited. Yes, keep going.
Well, and so when people get it, they get so excited and they get involved and they give money and they show up. They're showing up in ways like I've never seen before in my entire life. And so that is, you know, it's like to the trumpet call, they're assembling. But then certainly on the other side, we feel it as well. I mean, I know that I can say the hate that we have received, and even me personally, you know, and I have, like I said, I have a wife and five children at home and it's real. Now I feel like God has prepared me for this. You know, like I said, I was a college football player and so I don't shy away from challenge. And
you're playing a different kind of football now.
Well, that's exactly right. And so but yes, we feel that it's real. And so I thank you for your prayers. And yeah, I would ask you that you pray for unity. We talk a lot in our organization that we do not fear the attacks from outside. In fact, we believe that if something takes the ship down or whatever, it's going to be from the inside. It's going to be moral failure, or it's going to be division, or it's going to be drifting from our mission. And so our constant prayer, those three, in fact, we talk about the three dangerous D's, disobedience, drift, division, and drift. And so that would be my request for prayer, especially the division one, especially unity. I don't know how much you know about the history of the Christian church, but maintaining unity around a common mission is not
what?
The simplest
you got to be kidding me, Joel. Come on, stop it.
And so, you know, we're praying that we could just stay together on this thing, and we're seeing it. You know, in communities, we regularly hear from pastors, we've never come together as a group of churches like we are for this mission. And it's amazing to see it, that God would maintain that and would protect that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm adding you to my personal prayer list. And I know that there will be many, many, many hundreds, if not thousands of people that will join me in doing that. And I'm going to link back to ways that people can give, because I know it takes money, right? Sure no does. One likes to talk about that, but it sure does. Sure it does. Takes money. You guys want, you know, it's your time, your talent, and your treasure. And guess what? Jesus gave it all and he wants it all. And right. We have an opportunity to serve him in a very tangible way in doing this. And I appreciate so much your heart for children and your heart for the next generation. And I think it will be the beginning of a generational change that is so desperately needed. I also would add to that, I've said this 100,000 times, so at the risk of repeating myself yet again, parents need to run for school board. You guys need to be invested in what's happening in your schools. Don't tell me, oh, hey, my kids are homeschooled or my kids go to private. My kids were all homeschooled. All seven of my children homeschooled. My grandkids are being homeschooled. Obviously, I just feel like that's the gold standard. But I go to school board meetings. I'm at the school board meetings. I want to know who the principal is. I want to get involved in what, you know, the curriculum that is in our schools. We need to care about what's happening to these kids, and we can love on them in a very tangible way by getting involved with what you're doing. Where can people find you online, Joel?
Well, let me say quickly that You're talking to a homeschool dad. So we homeschool all five of our kids. And in fact, when they hit teenage years, and I have two teens, they come with me to work once a week. And so I just had two teenage boys who were with me today. I woke them up, you know, at five something in the morning and drug them to the office, and they sit in meetings with me. And so, but again, people hear that and they might think, oh, but then you do this public school ministry. And it's like, yeah, the reason I have my kids homeschooling is because I see the public school as a mission field. You know,
that's
like
right.
It's the same things that motivate. And so anyway, that's, I completely agree. And yeah, the way people can engage is lifewise.org. Everything is there. So there is a find your school page that you can engage with your local school district. There's also a donate page. Certainly, as you said, if we're serious about this, and we are, that there are 13,000 school districts, 90,000 public school buildings, 50 million public school students nationwide. We are serious about making the Bible available to all of them during school hours. If we're going to pull that off, it's going to take a lot of resources, a lot of time, a ton of people coming together to say we're going to do this. So everyone listening to this, we really do need you to engage.
Well, I have one of the best audiences in the whole world, if I do say so myself. Everyone that comes on here, when they come back, they say, man, you guys are movers and shakers. Joel Penton, just an absolute honor to have you on the show. I knew when Matthew reached out to me, this was going to be fire, and it is. And I have just been on the verge of tears the whole time because I can see what God's doing, and it is, it's so needed. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's just been a delight to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
For more information on today's guest, go to HeidiStJohn.com/podcast. You guys know the drill. I will link back to all things related to Joel and his ministry today. You guys, we're serious about this. We need to be giving our time, our talent, and our treasure. Our kids matter to God, and they should matter to us. I also want to give you the opportunity to get more information and get a meeting going in your neck of the woods so we can start getting LifeWise into every school in the United States. For more information, go to lifewise.org/Heidi. That's lifewise.org/Heidi. I can't wait to see what my listeners do in response to this podcast. You guys, we have an opportunity to reach the next generation with the gospel. That's lifewise.org/Heidi.